Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. This is the book of Exodus. This is chapter 7, and let's ask the Lord to bless the message. Father, our God, our Savior, Lord, we thank you that you tell us to pray for one another. We thank you that you hear us when we do. We thank you, Lord, that you hear, and we thank you, Lord, that you answer prayers. And that you do heal people instantly when they have the faith to reach out and take your word as true fact. Lord, heal all the people that are sick and afflicted and that are hurting in the world. Heal them now, Father God, in Jesus' mighty name. Heal them from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. Lord, especially the household of faith. Lord God, we ask that you anoint this message, chapter 7, and that you quicken it unto our spirits to give us another day of strength and power. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Lord, we ask that you let our spiritual ears be wide open to receive all the words that you want for us to believe. We ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Chapter 7, King James Version, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt, and bring forth mine armies, and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt, and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. Translation verses 1 through 6. Aaron's staff becomes a snake. Then the Lord said to Moses, quote, Pay close attention to this. I will make you seem like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. He will speak for you. Tell Aaron everything I say to you, and have him announce it to Pharaoh. He will demand that the people of Israel be allowed to leave Egypt. But I will cause Pharaoh to be stubborn, so I can multiply my miraculous signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. Even then, Pharaoh will refuse to listen to you. So I will crush Egypt with a series of disasters, after which I will lead the forces of Israel out with great acts of judgment. When I show the Egyptians my power and force them to let the Israelites go, they will realize that I am the Lord. Unquote. So Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord had commanded them. King James Version, verse 7. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old, when they spake unto Pharaoh. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, Show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, Take thy rod, and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh, and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Then, and the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened, he refuseth to let the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth out unto the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's brink, against he come.
They used to go to the river, Pharaoh, to go to the bathroom in the morning. That's exactly what he was doing. Okay? All right, what else?
And the rod...
I mean, it may seem graphic, but that's what he did, was doing. Okay, what else?
And the rod which was turned to a serpent shalt thou take in thine hand.
Go ahead.
And thou shalt say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath sent me unto thee, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear. Thus saith the Lord, In this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. Translation verses 7 through 17. Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron was 83 at the time they made their demands to Pharaoh. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, quote, Pharaoh will demand that you show him a miracle to prove that God has sent you. When he makes this demand, say to Aaron, Throw down your shepherd's staff, and it will become a snake, unquote. So Moses and Aaron went to see Pharaoh, and they performed the miracle just as the Lord had told them. Aaron threw down his staff before Pharaoh and his court, and it became a snake. Then Pharaoh called in his wise men and magicians, and they did the same thing with their secret arts. Their staffs became snakes too, exclamation mark. But then Aaron's snake swallowed up their snakes. Pharaoh's heart, however, remained hard and stubborn. He still refused to listen, just as the Lord had predicted. A plague of blood. Then the Lord said to Moses, quote, Pharaoh is very stubborn, and he continues to refuse to let the people go. So go to Pharaoh in the morning, as he goes down to the river. Stand on the river bank and meet him there. Be sure to take along the shepherd's staff that turned into a snake. Say to him, The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has sent me to say, Let my people go, so they can worship me in the wilderness. Until now you have refused to listen to him. Now the Lord says, quote, You are going to find out that I am the Lord. Look, exclamation mark, I will hit the water of the Nile with this staff, and the river will turn to blood. King James Version, verse 18. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink of the water of the river. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Say unto Aaron, Take thy rod, and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, and upon their ponds, and upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so, as the Lord commanded. And he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river, in the sight of Pharaoh, and in the sight of his servants. And all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. Translation verses 18 through 21. The fish in it will die, and the river will stink, the Egyptians will not be able to drink any water from the Nile. Unquote. Then the Lord said to Moses, quote, tell Aaron to point his staff toward the waters of Egypt, all its rivers, canals, marshes, and reservoirs. Everywhere in Egypt, the water will turn into blood, even the waters stored in wooden bowls and stone pots in the people's homes. Unquote. So Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord had commanded them. As Pharaoh and all his officials watched, Aaron raised his staff and hit the water of the Nile. Suddenly, that means instantly, the whole river turned to blood.
Now, a lot of theologians say, and I mentioned this in the later on, that it was the Nile River, the red clay, that caused, there was a flood there, and that caused the water to turn to blood in the Nile. But how did it happen inside their stone bowls and in their wooden bowls? Amen?
Amen.
And everywhere. Their wells were filled with it. There was no red clay in the wooden bowls. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So, I mean, they just crazy. All right. Then what?
Verse 21. The fish in the river died, and the water became so foul that the Egyptians couldn't drink it. There was blood everywhere throughout the land of Egypt. King James Version, verse 22. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantment, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them, as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither did he set his heart to this also. And all the Egyptians digged round about the river for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the river. And 7 days were fulfilled after that the Lord had smitten the river. Translation, verses 22 through 25. But again the magicians of Egypt used their secret arts, and they too turned water into blood. So Pharaoh's heart remained hard and stubborn. He refused to listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had predicted. Pharaoh returned to his palace and put the whole thing out of his mind. Then the Egyptians dug wells along the river bank to get drinking water, for they couldn't drink from the river. An entire week passed from the time the Lord turned the water of the Nile to blood. Commentary now.
Okay, now the commentary.
7, verse 1 and 2. Quote, then the Lord said to Moses, quote, pay close attention to this. I will make you seem like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. He will speak for you. Tell Aaron everything I say to you and have him announce it to Pharaoh. He will demand that the people of Israel be allowed to leave Egypt. Unquote. A prophet was the middleman between God and his people. He acted as the mouthpiece of God to the people and represented the people to God. 7 verse 3, quote, but I will cause Pharaoh to be stubborn so I can multiply my miraculous signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. Quote, unquote, quote, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, unquote, reinforces God's power and will. Pharaoh is already arrogantly unbelieving. Chapter 5, verse 2. Quote, and Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Unquote. God will intensify to prove his presence in Egypt and Israel. See Romans 9, 14 through 18.
Okay, go ahead and read some of it.
Okay. Quote, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Unquote. 7 verse 11. Quote, then Pharaoh called in his wise men and magicians, and they did the same thing with their secret arts. Unquote. Egypt, like the rest of the Middle Eastern cultures, was a land where magic flourished. The belief was then that the magicians were the counselors of kings and pharaohs in the Middle East. Chapter 7, verse 13. Quote, Pharaoh's heart, however, remained hard and stubborn. He still refused to listen, just as the Lord had predicted. Unquote. The elders of Israel did not ask for signs, but when they saw them, they believed. Chapter 4, verse 30 through 31. Quote, and Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. Unquote. Pharaoh asked for a sign, verse 9. But when he saw one, he did not believe. 7 verse 17 through 8 verse 19. In addition to being called, quote, wonders, unquote, check out chapter 3 verse 20. Quote, and I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. Unquote. God's dealings with Egypt are commonly called, quote, plagues, unquote, because of the main Hebrew verbs that describe his actions. Quote, I will strike, unquote. Chapter 7, verse 17. Quote, now the Lord says, quote, you are going to find out that I am the Lord. Look, exclamation mark. I will hit the water of the Nile with this staff, and the river will turn to blood. Unquote. And, quote, I will smite. Unquote. Chapter 8, verse 2. Quote, and if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. Unquote. This reinforces God's judgment ability behind everything and behind these plagues. Many of the plagues are aimed at Egypt's nature gods as much as at the Egyptians themselves. With each plague, God demonstrates that the various Egyptian gods are powerless and judged by him. 7 verse 20. Quote, so Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord had commanded them. As Pharaoh and all his officials watched, Aaron raised his staff and hit the water of the Nile. Suddenly, that means instantly, the whole river turned to blood. Unquote. Some interpret this to mean the Nile was polluted by fine red earth. How did it happen at that instant then, that God released through flooding the Nile? The text more likely indicates that the Nile actually turned to blood, and that's exactly what it did. That is the kind of thing you get in theological seminaries.
Yeah, this type of heresy, like I said before, the water turned to blood in their bowls inside their houses, into their water vessels, the water pots, everything. And you just get that sort of thing in these theological seminaries or cemeteries that we call them. Okay, then what else?
The different plagues were, number one, the blood. 7:20. Quote, and Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded. And he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river, in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants. And all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. Unquote. Number two, the second plague was frogs. Chapter 8, verse 6. Quote, and Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. Unquote. Number three, the third was lice. Chapter 8, verse 17. Quote, and they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod, and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Unquote. Number four, the fourth was flies.
The fourth plague was flies, right. Then what?
8, verse 24. Quote, and the Lord did so, and there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh, and into his servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies. Unquote. Number 5, the fifth plague was livestock diseased. Chapter 9, verse 6. Quote, and the Lord did that thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died, but of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. Unquote. Number 6, the sixth plague was boils. Chapter 9, verse 10. Quote, and they took ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it up toward heaven, and it became a boil breaking forth with flames upon man and upon beast. Unquote. Number 7, the seventh plague was hail. 9, verse 23. Quote, and Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. Unquote. Number 8, the number 8 plague was locusts. Chapter 10, verse 13. Quote, and Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. Unquote. Number 9. The ninth plague was darkness that could be felt. Chapter 10, verse 22. Quote, and Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. Unquote. And number 10 was the death of the firstborn of Egypt for not displaying the blood, the symbolic of the blood of Jesus, on the lintels and the doorposts. Chapter 12, verse 29. Quote, and it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. Unquote. I'm going back to chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Okay. Quote, then the Lord said to Moses, pay close attention to this. I will make you seem like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. He will speak for you. Tell Aaron everything I say to you and have him announce it to Pharaoh. He will demand that the people of Israel be allowed to leave Egypt. But I will cause Pharaoh to be stubborn so I can multiply my miraculous signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. Even then Pharaoh will refuse to listen to you, so I will crush Egypt with a series of disasters, after which I will lead the forces of Israel out with great acts of judgment. When I show the Egyptians my power and force them to let the Israelites go, they will realize that I am the Lord. Unquote. Nowhere is the stubbornness of Pharaoh's heart displayed more vividly. Moses and Aaron were fully involved in the process of confronting this unyielding persecutor. At this point, their task of freeing the people must have sometimes seemed impossible, with the exception of that God had told them. He assured them that their goal of freedom would be reached by His sovereign power. We may be battling with a powerful, unreasonable enemy, internally or externally. But when God desires something to happen, it will happen, no matter what the opposition. Chapter 7, verse 7. Quote, Moses was 80 years old and Aaron was 83 at the time they made their demands to Pharaoh. Unquote. Notice that Aaron is the older brother. but God called Moses to be the primary leader. This cut across the grain of cultural expectation. The firstborn was always considered the first in line for a position of power or influence. But God often chose unlikely people to accomplish his plans. Consider also Isaac, Jacob, Judah, Joseph, Gideon, and David. None of these was a firstborn son, but all were given a significant part to play in God's plan. God often does things that surprise us. He knows the heart. He uses unlikely people, people that you'd least expect. No matter what kinds of things we have done in the past, each of us, if we are faithful to God, has a special place or part in his plan. 7 verses 8 through 13. When we decide to commit ourselves to God, we can be assured of God's power within us, which is greater than any other power in us or in the universe. Here, God shows his power to Pharaoh by turning Aaron's staff into a serpent. But in this case, as is often true in life, victory through God's power is not always immediate. We have to notice that Pharaoh's magicians also performed this same sign. But then the snake that had been Aaron's staff turned and devoured the others, showing that if we depend on God's power only, we will find ultimate victory. 7 verse 14 through chapter 8 verse 19. The first three plagues, blood, chapter 7 verse 14 through 24, frogs, chapter 8 verses 1 through 15, and gnats, chapter 8 verses 16 through 19, as intense as they were, did not turn Pharaoh from his cruel behavior. He still continued in his denial. At the height of the frog plague, he nearly relented, asking Moses and Aaron to pray to God on his behalf. Chapter 8, 8 through 14.
Let them read it for themselves.
Okay. However, when things let up momentarily, he hardened his heart again.
Praise the Lord, that was chapter 7. The book of Exodus, and keep thinking of the Lord today. Keep your mind on him so that he'll keep, so you'll be able to receive from him his guidance today. And that's what we need, because we're living in dangerous times, evil, wicked times, and we need the Lord's Spirit to guide us every day. And if we keep our minds concentrated on him, that is, thinking about him, meditating on him day and night as to what we should do, what we should say, what we should not say, where we should go and where we should not go, and ask for guidance in everything that we do, then we know that we have perfect peace and a sound mind. So those, so this evening I'll be working on chapter 8, or it's in the morning now. So this morning I'll be working on chapter 8, and until chapter 8, God bless you, and praise the Lord. Amen.